Hello, and welcome to the Equus Film and Arts Fest podcast, the only program for horse lovers who have a fondness for horses and film, art, and literature. Each week, we will have interesting conversations with equestrian filmmakers, artists, and authors from around the world, discussing the nature and challenges, as well as the triumphs of creating their work. Ready to talk horses and film and the arts? Here's your host, Julianne Neal, along with Lisa Dearson, festival founder and director.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Equus Film and Arts Fest podcast. I'm your host, Julianne Neal, and I'm really excited today. I'm here, as always, with Lisa Dearson, the festival founder and director, but we have a special treat for you. Lisa, how are you doing?
I'm great, Julianne. We're going into another whole month of lockdown, so, oh boy, so excited about that.
Oh, well, at least there are things that seem to be shaping up, you know, across the country. We'll see how it goes. At least in the horse world, I'm enjoying learning how other people in other parts of the world do things. And so having that time, I was telling somebody the other day, I hadn't had time to ride in so long, and I'm actually having time with my horse. So I guess that's a selfish way of looking at it. But that's
nice for you. I'm going to start a new hashtag that's hashtag behind your horse, because I've been doing so much long reining because they really don't want us to do riding at the barn.
Right. Well, and I feel guilty even saying this because of our guest today. And the last thing I saw that she wrote was talking just about that. So without any further ado, I will tell you that we're so happy today. Instead of this being a recorded podcast from the Equus Film Festival, we are actually on a Zoom call, which we've never really done that before as part of the podcast, but we're on a Zoom call right now with Gretchen Lita from the Horse Network. So welcome, Gretchen.
Gretchen, where'd you go?
Right here.
We couldn't hear you for a second, but welcome. We're so excited to be talking with you today on the podcast. How are you?
Fantastic. I'm here in Chicago. I have not seen a horse since March 13th. I usually ride twice a week, but I've been good about quarantining, and I live right in Chicago. I live in the northernmost neighborhood of the city. So yeah, I have not seen a horse in 30 days.
Well, in your last article
or longer,
when this is over, we will ride again was your title. And so, yeah, it spoke to me when I read it. So yeah. So you're in Chicago. You and Lisa are actually close by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, we were talking about after this quarantine and all of the rest of it gets over, I'm going to take her out and introduce her to Jill McCray, who's been with us at the Camden Tour Stop. Jill was with her beautiful billboard of her horse. I'll have to send you that picture, Gretchen. But I'm going to take her up to see Jill because Jill's so close to us.
Great idea. That is a great idea. Well, I'm
looking forward to it.
I'm interested in seeing how that goes and all the rest of the tour stops that you have planned for this summer, Lisa.
Well, we're down to, now we're going to be starting in August with the tour stop in Sedona because they've moved. Briarfest will be going online. So they're still selling tickets to Briarfest. We'll still have an Equus Film Festival component of Briarfest. You'll just have to be part of Briarfest to access those tickets and be able to see the films that'll be part of Briarfest. And hopefully we'll be doing the Lady Longrider film as part of Briarfest. So that'll be a pretty exciting event for them to have. And we're going to try to see if we can do some virtual, kind of like a Zoom discussion with Bernice.
Oh, great idea.
Yeah. So that'll be kind of interesting to see how we can do that.
Very good. Well, Gretchen, I know you were in Kentucky when we were there for the film festival in December. Do you go back and forth for things like Briarfest and everything else?
I have never been to Briarfest. I've always seen pictures of it, and it looks like a lot of fun, but I've never actually been. I've done lots of other like horse expos and things, but that was actually my very first trip to the Kentucky Horse Park. And like my friend and I drove there, like driving to Mecca. Like we were just like, it's getting closer. We were so excited. So it was really magical.
Were you able to see a lot of the films, Gretchen?
Yeah, I swatched. I actually made a list the other day of all the films that I watched on the website as well as on the Equus Film Festival website as well as at the festival itself, and I think it's come out to about 35 films.
Wow.
And good. We would watch at least 5 films a day. Yeah, it was great.
If they're really good films, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. There's some really great ones on there. Like there's some that I still think about.
They start conversations, you know?
And the thing I really liked about it was how diverse it was. Like there was so much variety. Like, you know, there was one day I watched a film that was mostly in Gaelic. It was about a jockey. It was a steeplechase jockey who got, you know, launched to stardom at like 16. And there was another one called The Great Flip-Off. I loved that film.
Cool.
Yeah, The Great Flip-Off, unfortunately, we don't have that on the channel, but anybody can see that now on Amazon. So and we have a link on the Equus Film Festival page on our website right to that film. But that's an amazing documentary. There's such a great backstory to that documentary, and Julianne has done a little feature piece on one of the stars of that documentary, who his horse happens to have been in the feature film, The Mustang, that was out last year. It was at Sundance. So it's very, very cool. That movie, I could watch that movie over and over again.
Well, Gretchen, I subscribe to the Horse Network newsletters and things. And so I get stuff, articles from you a lot. And you've gone through and reviewed a bunch of the films from the festival. And I've really enjoyed reading. Your style of writing is just fantastic. And I really enjoy reading it. So how did you get involved with Horse Network?
I got involved with Horse Network when it was still Horse Collaborative back in 2015. And my first piece for them was actually about why doing martial arts made me a better equestrian. And then I just, at the time I was getting my MFA at Columbia College Chicago, which is down in the Loop. And I was also starting to ride gypsy horses in Wisconsin more and more. And so, you know, I knew that I wanted to publish more. I knew I wanted to write more. So that's how I originally got involved in Horse Network. But I've been writing since 2010. And I went to Colorado State University in Fort Collins, Colorado, which has an equine science program. And I was involved in Collegiate Horsemen's Association. I was an English major, but I was with horses all the time. And I met the editor of the Quarter Horse Journal. And I, at the time, was determined to write about horses. And so she said to me, she's like, all right, Gretchen, if you want to be taken seriously, you really are going to have to know what it's like to get up no matter the weather to feed and clean pens. Like, she's like, this is how you're going to be taken seriously. So I ended up working, volunteering, and then ending up helping run a horse farm over the years. And then I just started writing from there. Ever since I had last in 2019, I had an article that did the best it probably I've ever seen. And it was called Beware the Horse Girl. And the last I talked to Carly, the editor, she said it had 60,000 page views. And I was just yeah. So that's how I got involved. Great question.
Awesome. You also write for other magazines and other reasons. I saw something that really spoke to me. You wrote about Anthony Bourdain and just his zest for telling the truth. And I think you called it punching it or punching in or something, that he wasn't concerned about what people thought. He was going to get the truth out there. So in the article, you were saying you wanted to do the same thing. So in the horse world, what is punching it in for you? What is it that,
So the term is punching up. So like, and punching up, often when we talk about humor or we talk about, criticism or things like that, if punching down is punching, is like making fun of someone with less power than you, and punching up is making fun of those with more power than you. And so I've always thought that was super interesting in the horse world, because that's definitely a part of the culture. There's definitely a hierarchy of who has power where. And I think it's really important to talk about it, and it's often not talked about very much. And it is also hard to do because the horse world is really small and it is a lot about networking. So you want to be as kind as possible, but as honest as possible, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So punching up is really talking about who's in power, who's not, why is that, things like that. And Anthony Bourdain really did that. And I was, I had consumed a little bit of his shows before I started reading his books this winter. And I was like, you know, he was cool, but like, I hadn't seen that much. And he kind of felt kind of macho. And then I was reading his books and it was just like, man, I want to be the Anthony Bourdain of the horse world.
Well, your style is, I mean, you talk in the article about his flow and the way he moved from thing to thing. And I don't know that it's the same as his, but your style is just wonderful. It draws you in and it makes me as a reader, I want to know what it is that you're going to end up with, where you're going with it. So you have a beautiful
style. Oh, that's lovely to hear.
It's true.
So, yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah. So the pieces move. Yeah. It's good to hear that I have pacing. That's like a thing that's really hard to master. You know, I think a lot about, you know, one of the things that's really hard as someone who writes about horses is that horse people, and I've heard some of this of your other authors talk about this on the podcast, where they're really concerned about making sure the horse information is accurate. You know, that horse enters that page on the correct lead, right? You were on the right diagonal, right? That latigo is in the correct position. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, but you know, for a generalized audience, it's a really delicate balance between, between being correct and also being compelling. You know, oftentimes, and I've been working on a longer project lately, and a lot of my writer friends are like, be careful, don't get bogged down. So I still do it sometimes too. But that's a thing that I think is really important to pay attention to. And it's definitely a thing that I've noticed the films I really like does well. It balances good horsemanship and good storytelling at the same time, which is really hard to do.
Yeah,
definitely. Lisa, you and I have talked about that before with a couple of projects that you watch as people are developing them, and you want to see that something that is supposed to be hunter jumper or supposed to be Western or whatever, that it's true to that, and that you're not going to get the truth police coming in and saying, yeah, but that's not the right bridle, or, you know, whatever.
They always do. They always do. It's like the helmet people. You have to be careful of what you post up. When we did A Pony and His Boy, that was part of what came back, was because the very first time Josh ever rode Barry, I don't know if you've gotten a chance to see that documentary yet. When Josh first rode Barry, we literally were in the middle of a field, and he just said, me ride Barry, and I picked him up and put him on that pony, and that was that. I didn't care. He was close enough to the ground. I was holding the pony. I grew up riding without a helmet as a kid, so I knew he was safe, but boy, those helmet police were all over it. It was just very funny.
Right? But especially like in those moments with a kid like Josh, you have to act so quickly.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like that raw footage of that is so important to that film. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yes,
I understand. I understand the helmet police. I've experienced the helmet police. My very first essay that like did super well was called Fat Girl Riding. And I had a picture of me that I originally sent in on the horse that I talk about. And I wasn't wearing a helmet in the picture because I was just sitting on her. And the editor messaged me back and was like, oh, let's find a different picture because you need to be wearing a helmet. And I do. Yeah. You know, I'm a writer. My brain is the only thing I have that's really worth any money. So I always wear a helmet, but I also am like, you know, just calm down.
Well, yeah. And we could have recreated that for the film, but it was such a pure moment. And literally his mom was going to send, the video was going to be a little, hi daddy, I finally am going to get on Barry moment, and it ended up being in part, literally from that moment, a documentary sprung forward. That moment created that documentary.
Thank you.
there was no plan to make a documentary about Pony and his boy, but when that happened and I talked to Julianne, and it was like, we just have to let this go where it's going to lead us.
Yeah, definitely. Well, now I have to ask Gretchen, when you talk about that picture, was it, I think it's Cabela that I read about, was your baby growing up? Was that, mm-hmm. that a picture of you on Cabela? Talk about her a little bit.
Yeah, that's me on Carabella. I think I'm like 14 in that picture.
Clean and tack and all that kind of stuff. It just reminded me, and I think Lisa was the same way. We all grew up riding. And you know that smell of leather when you're pulling apart the buckles and cleaning when it's that old tack. There's just nothing like it. That's amazing.
Yeah, my trainer and I were talking about that the other day, about how, like, the tack that's, like, that's older, the leather's a different texture than the newer stuff.
It is.
The old bridles, I'm just like, but I want this new, the old stuff is just so much leatherier. Like, I guess it's mostly because it's not as synthetic as the new stuff is, but like, you know, like, and it lasts so much longer. But yeah, that's a real good trick to both filmmaking, I think, and to writing too, is getting those little details and knowing which little detail is important and which ones aren't. And it takes a lot of practice, and sometimes you get it right and sometimes you get it wrong. But yeah,
leather's great. Well, so now you're working, you said, on another project. Is it going to be horse related? Is it a book? Can we be nosy and find out a little bit about it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm working on a book proposal about a collection of essays. The title is a work in progress, but the collection of essays is, there's a chapter on each different horse, and then there's a chapter on a different issue within the horse industry. So there's a chapter on gender, there's a chapter on rescue horses, there's a chapter on the loss of agricultural land, and those are each told from a different perspective from different horses throughout my life. So that's the big project right now. It is... had draft upon draft upon draft, and it feels like it's getting close to being ready to send out, but I want that thing to sparkle before it goes anywhere.
We have a filmmaker working on a documentary, a short documentary right now. Well, I don't know how short it's going to be, but it's called, I think it was called Here Today, Gone Tomorrow, right, Julianne, about the loss of riding land. And he has been, for the last 20 years, documenting the same area and how the riding land has disappeared and what he's had to do with his mm-hmm. horse and how many places he's had to move his horse and all different kinds of things in this. And it's quite an interesting documentary perspective of what he's been able to film through these last 20 years mm-hmm. with the same horse. The horse is still with him.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Wow, it's the same horse? Oh, yes, I'm looking forward to seeing that, because that is so important and it's not talked about very much. Yeah, that's such, like, and there's all these discussions about zoning and, you know, what gets to stay as what, and the like complication of upkeeping a boarding facility mm-hmm. that's close to town, and like what that looks like for the sustainability of the horse industry. I think it's within, I need to check my facts on this, so please check me. But I think it's like less than 20 years, they say, that we might not have enough pasture land for horses to maintain the numbers that we have. But it's a very short period of time. I can't remember if it's 10 or 20 years. I'd have to look it up. But yeah, it's super important. I'm looking forward to that one, Lisa.
Yeah. But then that's when you talk about all the diverse films that we have so many, you know, from a blind rider, dressage rider in France, to a little boy with Down syndrome in the United States and a pony. And we have everything in between, as far as mm-hmm. films come into the festival or that are on the channel. And it mm-hmm. to me, that's what makes this so cool and so interesting, is the fact that if there is a discipline in horses, we have a documentary film that's been made about that discipline. We've had films mm-hmm. from Japan on the horses from Fukushima after the nuclear reactor blew. We have a documentary that I'm talking to the people again in Japan right now about a type of racing that only happens in Japan I had put up, we've been doing a little game on the our Facebook page about what equine sport is this. And we found, I found this really extreme sled racing where they come out of the gate, they, and the guy, jockeys are in their silks, but they're standing on 1-ton sleds. And the draft horses, it's draft horse racing in Japan. And there's a documentary, a short documentary that's been made about it. So it'll be part of the festival and part on, and it will be on the channel as well. So there's so many different things all the way around the world that we've been able to meet and talk with the filmmakers and curate this kind of collection that no one else has, a collection as diverse as what we have. And so many interesting filmmakers along with it.
Yeah, I think that diversity is super crucial. Like, I was going over, like, my list of favorites before we started talking, and, you know, half of them are not in the States at all, and a lot of them are over every kind of discipline you can imagine and every kind of horse breed. I just watched, I'm totally going to, please forgive my Italian, it was called I Want to Be a Rompicolo.
Oh, yes.
I'm saying that name right?
Yeah.
And it's the first woman to ever win the race in Siena, or not, she didn't win, she just raced in it.
She
was also in this film that was made in the 50s, and she's like this little tiny spitfire of a lady, and she's just like, you see her getting on that horse and you're just like, yeah. But yeah, the diversity is super important, and I've it's been the thing that I've really enjoyed about reviewing the films is how current and how widespread it's made my information and knowledge about horses. You know, I always considered that I knew quite a bit. You know, I've been around horses my whole life, and I've always been involved in exotics. Like, I grew up on Peruvians and then ended up at a gypsy horse farm. And some, for some reason, I keep tripping over Frisians. But you know, this is even bigger than that. Like, there's every type of horse imaginable. I also have you guys watched the one about the Dartmoor ponies?
Oh yeah.
And the final roundup. That one is also fantastic. I loved the imagery at the very end of running through the fields like that. It's so good. And don't worry, guys, that doesn't spoil anything. It's super great.
but see, there's just such a wide diversity of films. And you know, where else do you find that? Where else can you find something that's not Secretariat, although I do love Secretariat, and on our regular film page on our website, on Equus's website, you can access Secretariat. But when you look at a film, even like Utopic, which is about a jumping instructor and a horse that just flipped over, those kind of films, unless you can know how to go out and just search and search and search, you can't, it's so hard to watch that kind of content. And and on the channel, you can just flip from film to film. We're going to have, we're going to be adding the Apollo race to the lineup. That's one of the new films that's coming in. So we had that back in 2000, I want to say 14, we had that film entered. So the first year we had the festival, we had 32 films that ranged from The Black Cowboys, which is a documentary that was filmed in Harlem with the Black Rodeo, filmed in Harlem with all of the, Muhammad Ali was in that film, to a film about Escaramuza with girls that do the Escaramuza riding with Mexican horses. So we had such a diverse batch of films when we first started the festival that was why I was like, whoa, there's something here. People want to see this. So Gretchen, what other films did you really like?
I just watched yesterday Horse Packer. Which is about a young man, that goes into the wilderness with mules every day for 6 months out of the year out of Rocky Mountain National Park. and they filmed it. I'm originally from Colorado, and so I like watched that film, and it, you could tell they filmed it at just the peak of when the aspens are at their height. Like there's like 2 weeks in Colorado where it's that beautiful. It's always that beautiful, mm-hmm. but like that beautiful is only like 2 weeks. And just the energy that that guy had on film was something. I also really loved Romani Rahi. That film is great. I loved the fact that, you know, the Romani in Ireland and England are known for being pretty secretive for a pretty good reason. And that filmmaker really did a really good comprehensive job of looking at the entire culture, which I really appreciated. The other, if you haven't seen it yet, Band of Rebels is also utterly fabulous. It's very short, but the filmmaking it's in that is absolutely stunning. It's about the wild horses of the French marshes and the old men who are the guardians of them. And it just has this very magical, very damp fairy tale feel to it that is just absolutely stunning. I also loved Utopic. That film was... Oh, yeah. The fact that they got the footage of that horse going over backwards is just, you're glued to the screen. Like, right. You're just like, right. It's like every bad day that any equestrian's ever had. Oh my gosh. And then so far the film that is like, I also am desperately in love with the film Halter Off. That film is so, it is like firing on all cylinders. That film is so good. And like I was screaming at my computer by the end of that particular
I'm
film.
Glad to hear that.
Like I could not walk away from that. Like I just loved that film, and it just does such a good job of showing the stakes of that race, of that trainer and his racehorses. Mm-hmm. And like he also, a friend of mine works in film. And they talk a lot about people who look good on camera and who you can't look away from. And the main trainer in Halter Off, you just can't look away from him. There's something about him that is really compelling. But yeah, those are the films. I could go on for hours. But that
makes me feel really good because I spend so much time curating these films. And it was with some of the trainers that we're bringing in now, and you love the film about the riders in the marshes in Spain. I have two more films coming in from that filmmaker, and one is filmed in the not Iceland, but it's so cold, and it's so, and you feel the cold because of his photography. It's so beautiful. But yeah, I'm so happy to hear you say that. Our filmmakers, people who make horse movies, and I say this when I talk to other film festival directors, people who make horse movies, very rarely will I have someone make a horse movie that's not a horse person. Mostly mm-hmm. they're made by people who are passionate about the story they're telling and passionate about the horses. And that's the difference. That's what comes through with these films. And the very sad thing about this is all of the films that we have, so many of them have applied for bigger film festivals or even applied for Sundance. And every festival they apply for, because they're horse content, they usually get put to the bottom of the list and don't even get, you know, once somebody sees that it's horse content, it just doesn't even get looked at. But if you, mm-hmm. as a reviewer, now you're sitting here and you're looking at these films, and there's not one of them that's up on the channel or on our film page that isn't so worth watching, that doesn't have a passionate story mm-hmm. attached to it, that isn't teaching you. We have people who walk out of the movie theaters when we do the festival crying, sobbing because of what they've just watched. You know, mm-hmm. some people walk out, there's not a dry eye. I could put you into three films right now that I know you'd be sitting there crying afterwards because they bring that emotion to the storytelling, to the film.
that's one of the positives, one of the few positives about having the time at home right now is to be able to have all that time to see them. I can't believe how many you've seen, Gretchen.
I know.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you're reviewing, you also have a little bit more incentive to cover lots of them, but they're also super good. And it's just, it also, I think, makes me a better horseman to be able to watch all these different types of films, you mm-hmm. know? I also think that it's really interesting, Lisa, that there are so few people that accept these films. Because one of the things that I've been learning lately is that everybody has a reaction when you talk about horses. Like, mm-hmm. You know, everybody always, like, whenever they find out about it, I'm a horse person, I always hear, oh, you know, well, I love blank, or I went out and saw such and such ponies in my neighbor when I was a child.
Right.
I think it's really interesting that those directions are not picking up horse content the way they probably should.
Well, and when they do, they pick up a film like either The Rider or, I'm trying to think of the title. Well, The Rider, to me as a horse person, it's very hard to watch. Very hard for me to mm-hmm. watch mm-hmm. movies that, again, that wasn't an equestrian that was the filmmaker. So they just made a movie and then, you know, you're supposed to, but that's a film that got to Sundance mm-hmm. and that's the film that got the attention. Well, at the same year, we had all the rest of our films came out. None of them were able to get into something like Sundance. So, you know, and filmmakers are super good at telling their stories and getting it on, mm-hmm. getting those stories on film.
This episode of the Equus Film and Arts Fest podcast is sponsored in part by Nature's View, The Marley Project, and JA Media Productions. To learn more about what we do, visit naturesview.us.
I'm curious, Lisa, tell me more why it was hard to watch. I've only seen bits and pieces of The Rider.
Oh, I have problems when... Well, I don't want to ruin it for you, but...
That's fine, you can ruin it for me.
I have problems
not
when
a big
horses
person who has problems
die.
With spoilers.
You know, it's like when dogs die in a movie or when horses die in a movie. Lean on Pete was the other one. Lean on Pete, I saw in a screening in downtown Chicago. I was invited to a reviewer's screening, and I almost walked out of it because... Did you ever see the movie Meet Joe Black?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you know when he gets hit by the car?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's like the very first scene.
Yeah. Well, they do that with the horse. And I just don't, I don't think there was so many other ways they could have written that scene to happen. And I don't think mm-hmm. you need to do that, especially to a, if you have a horse loving audience, it's going to come to a theater to see that movie. Mm-hmm. That horse loving audience isn't ever going to watch that movie again. Where if you have a horse loving audience coming in to see, well, now Ride Like a Girl is the big one which is a great documentary. I don't know if you've seen it yet. It's I'm talking to the people now. It's from Ireland. And it's about women steeplechase racers, but it's
cool,
available
yes.
on Amazon. It's really cool. But they're going to be bringing it to the festival this year. They went right out into distribution, but you know, you have the ability to have a audience that will come back and watch your film another 10 times because they're horse lovers. How many times have you watched Secretariat or The Black Stallion or, you know, When a film
Mine
is
was the
really
Mandarin
good.
Snowy River.
Yes.
Yeah, see?
Yes.
And you'll watch it over and over again, won't you?
Definitely.
But you'll watch it over and over again because you walk away, even though there was drama and tragedy in the story, you still walked away feeling good about the horse content of it, the horse part of it. You know, even though they went down mm-hmm. that ravine, that horse didn't die out from underneath of him. If that horse would have died out from underneath him, I guarantee the audience reaction to that film wouldn't have been what it is.
We wouldn't
in Man from Snowy River.
Yeah, we wouldn't still be watching it today.
Mm-hmm.
For
yeah,
sure.
Right. So. Right. So I just think when you're telling a horse film, you have to take the horse lover in, you know, when you're making a horse film, you have to take the horse lover into consideration. Mm-hmm. When you're making that. We have some documentaries from the Kill mm-hmm. Pen is going to be going up. That's, those kind of documentaries are very hard when we're at the festival. We have things that are so hard for people mm-hmm. to watch because you can't, seeing a horse with get hit with a captive bolt, we've seen, I think, as horsemen now, because it's, you can see that on your computer. I don't think people want to see that. They know it happens. They want to know what they can do to help stop it. So we have films, Their Last Ride, which one of our filmmakers, Nita Rain, who has made quite a few documentaries now about the equine slaughter issue, she's been able to do it in such a way that she skirts around that and does it in a really tasteful way so that you don't feel like it's slapping you in the face and that you're going to throw up watching the movie. You're going to be introduced to the issue, and she's going to show what she's doing and how they're bringing about change to get those horses out of those kill pens. You know, and she's doing it with children and art. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
we meet her at the Cracker Barrel after the night at the first night of the film festival. She's sitting to the behind me.
Isn't she amazing?
She definitely is.
Gotta love that Cracker Barrel though. It's right? My favorite place.
Definitely the hangout spot in Kentucky for sure.
Right? You know, just yeah. The Cracker Barrel. Oh, dude, yeah.
Well, so now, Gretchen, are you coming to Kentucky this November, actually, for the festival?
I can't say officially, but I've been planning on it. I sure do hope so, because I had such a good time last time. And, you know, the Kentucky Horse Park is also such a place, right? And it was so nice to just hang out with filmmakers and get to meet people and talk about, you know, all kinds of different things. I got to interview filmmakers, the Tales of Iceland director I got to interview, and now we're friends on Facebook. You know, like, so yeah, I'm planning on it. I'm looking forward to it, but you know, it's a crazy world. So I don't want to say 100% because.
Right. Well, as we've learned. Yeah, definitely.
And that's you saying that you have never been to Briarfest. I'm going to tell you, we partnered with Briarfest last year with film screenings. And we had Barry and Josh down there with the pony, and Mario, who's in the film, also brought one of his horses, and they went all over the grounds with this beautiful black stallion leading little pony Barry with Josh all over the park. But there's almost 40,000 people that come to that festival with they compete with their model horses. It's the most unbelievable experience you will ever have in your life, horse-wise, prior. That's unbelievable.
I mean, even the hotels around there are full of people who are trading, or they've got their room set up with the stall and the selling tack. And I mean, I've never seen anything like it. And Bruce and I were there this past year. And we just walked around in awe of all the knowledge that we didn't have.
So we're also going to be there for Equitana. The mm-hmm. film festival will be part of Equitana if, you know, knock on wood, that Equitana goes through this year.
So, yeah.
We've got
that was going to be my next question, because it's in June, isn't it?
Equitana's in September.
Yeah.
Oh, is it? It's in September? That's good. Yeah. That's good to hear. Yeah.
It's September. So we're hoping that things will be good for Equitana, because that's a huge event coming to the park.
Yeah. And I would be mm-hmm. so disappointed after everything if we didn't get to have that one. You know, all the plans have gone into it, and things have been so topsy-turvy. I mean, even Lisa, if you think about it, all the way back to World Equestrian Games, mm-hmm. everything, you know, you were in try-on for that, but we're battling storms and craziness there, and now here we are getting ready for Equitana and just wondering what's going to happen.
Yeah. A different kind of storm.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we had the hurricane for World Equestrian Games.
That was terrible. Yeah.
You just never know. But so the other film, Gretchen, that I think if you liked Romany Ray, that mm-hmm. that filmmaker, because you used to ride gypsy horses, he's a breeder of mm-hmm. fell ponies.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another film in the festival that he's made that I just put in, and it's called Live Before You Die, and it's a poem that he did for his mom. That one just went up, and we're going to be adding another one that he did called Pony, which is a music video. It's about a 7-minute long music video featuring his fell ponies. So you'll have to keep an eye out for those.
Oh yeah.
That sounds amazing. I know he runs a touring thing up in up where he lived.
Yes.
And yeah, his fells are lovely. And they seem so well loved. Like those seem like they have the best life.
Oh yeah. If you haven't seen it yet, be sure and watch The Edge. That one's another one that Bruce and I. So we'd love you to
the festival since what, 2014?
Yeah.
They came the very first time with just a short trailer, and then they evolved into a full-length documentary, and now we do the Spotlight Rescue series. Julianne and I do that, and we have Bruce's training, which is pretty amazing. His training series is up on the channel. And we also have been kind of stepping into equestrian travel, and we've got another couple of people I'm going to be talking to, and we're adding their content. But we have the Greece and Greenland, and we're going to be adding Slovenia with the equestrian adventure.
Oh, cool.
So she does a really nice job with her videos. So
I love the Mongolian races, and like Julie Valu's over there now, and you never know what's going to come out of some of that.
Well, that Gobi Gallop, Julie Valu, who did the documentary, The Gobi Gallop, she has that film. They also run a foundation called the Vilu Foundation that builds schools in Mongolia for the kids, kindergarten schools for these kids, so that their parents can work. And that's what she does with the funds that are raised from that race. And we also have a lot of films that are about equine assisted therapy and wounded warrior programs, which that, any of these, those.
Yeah, I loved, my favorite one of those was Backcountry Recovery.
Oh yeah, that was good. Ben Masters, he did the documentary Unbranded. That came out.
Yeah, I liked them. I liked Horse Rich Dirt Poor too. Like he did that one as well. Those are also those are super good. His filmmaking is lovely. I also, the other thing that I'm thinking about with horse films that I've been really impressed with is the number of women documentaries or like that are directed by women. Like if we look at things like the Oscars that's really impressive and not very common. Like I was going through, and even when the film is about men, it's often directed by a woman. Like the one, I'm only going to missay the word, it's called Nurabura Boy. It's about the horse trainers in Australia who meet as friends. One is an Italian immigrant and they raise horses. That one is also directed by a woman, and like they all are. Like there was one about Portuguese bull riders.
Oh.
Not bull riders, they're bullfighters.
Yes.
Bullfighters. That film is beautiful as well. Also directed by a woman, like that's super fabulous and not that common, and it's nice to see that
representation. She did Land of the Thoroughbreds too. She did Land of the Thoroughbreds.
Oh, that film is so beautiful. The thing that really impressed me about that film is how it uses horses, but also really does feed off of like the French art movement. Like if we think about films like, this is super nerdy, Sans Soleil, which is like the experimental art film, that is definitely what that film feels like. It has that like movement, and it relies on the audience to kind of make its own connections instead of you trying to find them yourself, which I really like because I'm that kind of a nerd. But yeah, her filmmaking is also super beautiful.
You will love Flux. It just went up, the film Flux. Put that down to review. if you
I actually have that one on my list to watch for next set. This set is about narrative films that I have coming up in the next couple of days, so it doesn't quite fit. The art films and narrative films don't quite fit. That's the other thing that I think is really important about the festival and the Equus Film Channel is that it has such diversity. And, like, you know, just because, like, my friend Rochelle came with me to the festival this year, and she, because the drive from Chicago to Kentucky is long, she, you know, it was really fun taking her with me, right? Yeah, Lisa, you completely understand. Like, she really liked a completely different set of films than I liked, and it was interesting to kind of bounce off of each other what we got out of what. Like me, I'm the queen of the artists, so I want something pretty edgy. I want something that, like, really pushes the status quo, where she really likes heartwarming. And so it was really important for me as a reviewer to take that into perspective and think about heartwarming and where that fits in to the, like, zeitgeist of the way horse people think. And honestly, like, that's one of the reasons I love being a horse person, is that it keeps me grounded a lot of the times, like, as someone who's involved in the literary world and, you know, reads all kinds of strange experimental things and, like, as my parents like to tell me, stuff that's like reading paint drying. It's really important for me to have that balance, and I really think Horses brings that to me, and I think the Film Festival website does that super well.
Well, you got to see a lot of the equine authors that we had there too, which was as diverse as the films. You know, what films did your friend like that came?
Her favorite film of the night was, of the weekend was, there was the documentary that takes place, I want to say it's near us, Lisa. I think it takes place in,
Mustang Saviors.
No, it's about, the equine therapy.
The Soul Harbor
I think it's Ranch. Libertyville. Yes.
Yeah, that was one of her favorites. She was sobbing her guts out through that one. She's going to be mad when she hears that I said that. She won't mind. She's pretty great. And then she also loved Cowboys, A Portrait, which was beautiful.
That's a beautiful documentary.
Those two were her favorites.
Yeah, beautiful documentary.
Yeah, it is. It also just, like, reminded me a lot of my childhood, like the scene with the snake. My friend and I turned to each other and we're like, should we explain to the people around us about what they're doing to the snake?
So have you seen Pee-wee Lovell yet?
Mm-mm.
Oh my gosh. So if you're doing kind of a narrative film review, you need to watch Pee-wee Lovell, because Pee-wee Lovell is the kind of film that you go, oh my gosh, there's people like that out there in the world with the horses. It's just, it will grab you and you will not be able to look away. It's just one of those films that you just can't look away from.
Yeah.
Another one that
I watched that
was so interesting to me, and it's from one of our older film fests, but it's new content on the channel, it's called Poisoned Horses. And I learned in that documentary, they have, it's about fluoride poisoning with the horses.
Mm-hmm.
And they put fluoride into a community's well. And because horses drink 25 gallons of water a day, they got fluoride poisoning really quickly, where people don't drink that much out of the tap, or they drink other stuff. And they were able to find out, well, these people, what happened to their horses was awful, but they were able to get the fluoride pulled out of the water and bring it to the attention that, you know, how bad fluoride poisoning is when they were putting fluoride in everyone's water. So, I mean, they cover all kinds of topics that you don't even think.
Yeah, that one was just put up the last month, wasn't it?
Yes. We have one from India called Riders of the Mist. That's very cool too, about the social structure of horse racing in India. So that's
I've been looking forward to that one.
Yeah, it's that filmmaker. I love that filmmaker. Her name's Rupa She has a film called Daughters of the Polo God that we'll be able to put back on the channel here soon. But she's just, she tells a story in just a wonderful, wonderful way. And she's come from India to the festival. Well, we've had people from probably 26 different countries.
That's impressive. Yeah, I've been looking forward to that one. I've been like saving that one. I keep looking at that one. I'm like, I'm looking for, I don't know what this one's going to be for yet, but I really like this one. I also just watched Hojo, which my Navajo is clearly terrible.
Yeah, it's beautiful, isn't that?
But that one is, yeah, that one is a beautiful film. The topic is that I spent so much time in that arena as a child because my grandma would her Peruvians.
Wow.
And so we'd go watch her ship. And I'm like, oh, look, stock show. How many hours have I spent in that arena?
I'm so glad you're enjoying the films too.
Yeah, and it's, don't you get the first week free, if I remember correctly?
Yep.
Yes, the first week is free. Mm-hmm. First 7 days are free. And right now we're adding probably around 7 to 10 new films every week are being added to the channel. So, new content is constantly coming in. And now we have different trainers and filmmakers who are just making content for this channel. So it'll always be getting new content. So it'll be fun as it keeps growing.
Yeah, it's crazy. 10 a week, or like 10 films a week, roughly, right? Is that what you said? 7 to 10?
Yes, yes. For just a rough example for you, since we're going into our 8th season with the film festival, since the festival started, we've had close to over 600 entries into the festival. Every year, when we have more than 100 films and 100 pieces of content entered, every year, I'm so amazed that there's that many people out there making that many horse stories, and it's getting bigger. There's more stuff being made than before. You know, every year it just keeps, the content gets better and better and better.
So we're going to keep you very busy for a long time, Gretchen.
Oh good. What kind of films would you guys like to see in the world? What is it that you haven't seen yet that you'd like to see?
Well, I'm very excited and can't wait for the Billy and Blaze series to come out.
Exactly.
That's beautiful. Yes.
That'll be like, and if they ever remake Misty of Shinkatee, but the Billy and Blaze film is so good. What they've gotten so far as the teasers and the trailer for it, but she's promising that it'll be ready this year. So that one, I'm really, because then it'll be one after another. They're going to have sequels to it.
Yeah.
So,
Did they make them off of each one of the books?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's the plan. So, and then we have a filmmaker from the Netherlands, Annette van Treek. So every year she's got two or three films that she enters that are ones that you just sit there with your jaw dropped after you watch them, which her film, she has a film about Totalist. She has a film about the jumpers. She has a film about eventing. She's got a film about combined driving, all different kinds. And they're all documentaries about different kinds of intrigue that happens with, like the Dutch eventing team or the Dutch driving team. She filmed that when we were at World Equestrian Game. She was there filming part of that. And every one of her films, you're like, wow, these are so good. So you can click through and get those links to Amazon. Those are ones that, people just need. Those are films people need to see. They just, because they're so good.
And I think I'd like to see some of the authors that we've had at the festival that have these amazing books. I want to see some of those partnerships between the filmmakers and the authors and bring some of those books to life and make some movies, We've got all great stories and I think it'd be fun.
The author of Many Brave Fools and I are friends on the internet. And that book is, I think that book's such an interesting concept. I think it would make an interesting film series. Like, I don't know if it would make a feature length film, but the idea of horses and addiction and mm-hmm. horses and codependency is super interesting. Yes. And I think she does an interesting job. And also like, being super honest about things like age mm-hmm. And how, you know, where we start with when we ride and things like that is super, mm-hmm. I love the vulnerability of that kind of stuff. You know, that's what I love about a good horse film is when they're super, super vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And I'll have to go check these ones out, Lisa, because I love intrigue. I love gossipy films.
Oh, Annette's films, they're right on the top row of our film page on the website. Her documentaries are so worth watching, and you'll watch mm-hmm. them a couple of times. We have a really good documentary coming in this year about Side Saddle, if they get that finished. Mm-hmm. But like Calgary Stampede Racing Side Saddle Riding. So it's yeah. very cool. We've got a trailer. It's called Her Story is the name of the documentary. Mm-hmm. But then Bernice's film is done. So we'll have Lady Long Rider this year.
Okay.
And you got a chance to talk to her, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. I talked to her for a grand total of about 30 seconds because she had so many raging fans. It was adorable.
She's a rock star in the horse world. She is.
Well, read that yeah. book because that book is... I mean, mm-hmm. you want to talk about going through some stuff. That book will just sit you down and you go, oh, my gosh. So, and that's the thing about our books.
Yeah, people really admire her.
Well, you got to admire a woman that just says, screw it, and gets on a horse and goes riding off for 3,000 miles. Oh, boy. I think so many women would like to do that.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. Especially after we're all let back out of our houses.
Yes.
It'll be interesting to see how many of us decide to be like, bye.
Be long riders.
So Gretchen, for sure, what is the first thing that you're going to do when we are all let out of our houses? Where are you going?
I have a friend up in Wisconsin who has a new crop of babies on the ground. She's a breeder. Oh. I'm going to go up and play with the babies. She's got a bunch of mares for me to ride too. So I'm looking forward to that. I don't know, ride something stupid, like ride real hard, you know, because we can't really ride much right now, right? Because you just don't want to get hurt. I might just go up into the woods. One of my favorite places to go is Washington Island, Wisconsin.
Oh,
okay. It's way up on the thumb of Michigan, mm-hmm. or not Michigan, of Wisconsin. And I have friends up there and, you know, just go live in my tent for a while.
Yeah, I miss being around people, although I'm... You know, you wonder, how are you going to feel going into a restaurant? You know, I think until they have a vaccine mm-hmm. for this, mm-hmm. I think everybody's going to feel a little uncomfortable in restaurants or a little uncomfortable in big group settings.
Right.
And it mm-hmm. kind of frightens me when you hear, or not frightens, but it's disconcerting to hear when they're going to one of the, you know, open the restaurants up and open movie theaters in the first wave of opening stuff. And it's,
well, I worked in the wedding industry for quite a while. And like the idea of like social distancing at something like a wedding, like so much of a wedding is just crowd management, you know?
Right.
It makes a lot of sense. Mm. Well, Julianne, what's the first thing you're going to do when they let you out?
Well, I have a farm in one town and then we mm-hmm. have Bruce's farm in another town. So I'm still driving back and forth to take care of horses. So I kind of feel like I'm lucky in that I'm still at least getting out of the house, but I really want to see my brother in Florida. I miss family. And so Bruce and I both talked about traveling. We're supposed mm-hmm. to get together at Edisto Beach this summer. We'd love to go to Trinidad and see his family. And so I don't know which of those will come first, but probably the closer one will probably be at the beach in South Carolina if it opens. So for now, I guess we're all lucky to have Equus things to do and to pick up time and all that. So, well, thank you, Gretchen, for being with us today. This has been so much fun.
Thanks for having me.
Hearing your process and hearing your thoughts on everything.
And this is her first podcast she's ever done, Julianne.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Well, thank you. So many podcasts, but like it is nice that this is my first experience on one. So thanks for having me.
Well,
we should talk. I guess maybe we should talk a little bit about Horse Network and the Horse Network platform that you work for.
Oh yeah,
we host our festival.
Horse Network It's fantastic, and they're launching all kinds of stuff. So Horse Network is getting bigger all the time, but it's basically a platform and a website. But now they're doing like live streaming of shows. They have their own sets of podcasts. They're connected with the Equus Film Festival. They're also really good about equine news. I'm really their essayist and their arts person. But they also do lots and lots of sports coverage. Like if you want to know who the top person competing at Hunter Jump or at Hunters is, they can tell you. If you want to know, you know, who did what at Rolex and who got what or what drama about, you know, which activity happened, they know it. Like they cover everything, and it's impressive, and it's just gotten bigger and bigger, and it seems like it's doing pretty well considering all the chaos with the world right now. And you know, they've been good about keeping up with closures and things. So yeah, that's really what Horse Network does. I hope I did the people Horse Network proud right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm also like used to being the person who does the interviews. Like I'm used to asking questions, not being asked them. I'm like, but should I talk now?
That's fun. Yeah,
it's fun being on both sides of it, though, isn't it?
Definitely.
Listen, I never did.
Yeah, it is.
And Julianne and I have really had a ball doing these. And we just
do it like talking. I mean, we just have conversations. And I don't think it would work for us any other way. We can't do the formal sit down thing. So it's working.
Yeah, I like wanted to the whole time. I'd be like, can I ask questions? Should I ask? Of course. That's like how I roll. I'm like, no, tell me about you. Like, we don't need to talk about me. I was thinking a lot about internet trolls when we were talking about this, and I think this also kind of, Lisa, with what you were saying about like the
helmet police.
the helmet police.
Yes. Yeah.
Or like other people. And one of the things that has really helped me with internet trolls and people who comment on Facebook or wherever is that when people comment, someone taught me this, it's them having feelings about themselves usually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you never take that super personal.
Yeah, it's always usually about them and not about you. And it's also like strangely esteeming in a way when someone comments, because it's helping them reassess a core belief when they often react. I don't know.
And if they react, that means they've watched.
True.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, you can't react if you're not watching or listening. So.
And I read that somebody never cuts you down that's doing more than you. The people who are trying to cut you down are the ones doing less than you. So somebody that's doing wonderful things is never going to take the time to say something negative. So that's something to remember.
Right? Today. They've got too many things to do.
I'll have to ask, can we bring you back on when things settle down a little bit? And when you've had time to see films and we're closer to summer and we know where things are going, can we bring you back on and do a recap and talk some more?
Oh, always. Yeah. This was super fun.
Cool.
Of course. I'm always happy to talk to you guys.
Well, you guys have a nice afternoon and pony on.
Pony on. We'll talk again soon.
Yep.
Please be sure to tune in next week when Julianne and I have another interesting conversation with one of our Equus Film and Arts Fest filmmakers, artists, or authors.